And today's message is Bible verse is Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. Title is The Erected Ones. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. We have looked twice at the role and the duties of the apostles and the prophets who were set up to build up the church, the body of Christ. Last week, we looked at the office of prophet. We confirmed that prophets, like apostles, were temporary and transient until the revelation of God's Word, the New Testament, was completed. God established the New Testament, the Holy Bible, which contains the profound meaning of Christ, with existence of apostles and prophets and the words they wrote. The apostles and the prophets were those who were given the grace to play a role of unparalleled dignity in history. Today, I'd like to discuss evangelists and pastors and teachers. First, let's start with evangelists. Like apostles and prophets, evangelists, as described by Apostle Paul and in the New Testament, were transient and a limited profession that lived only for a short period of time 2,000 years ago. The word evangelist, as used by Paul and in New Testament, seems to have a different connotation than the word evangelist used to today. Today, pastors, evangelists, and missionary may all be called evangelists in a broad sense. For example, Billy Graham, who took the world by storm, seems to be known as the world's leading mass evangelist. Even in Japan, where Christians are still a minority, the Billy Graham International Convention was held four times, in 1956, 1967, 1980, and 1994, and many people believed in the Lord Jesus and had a faith experience to return to God through those conventions. Perhaps some of you have attended a Billy Graham convention. More recently, you may be familiar with the word of Nick Wojcic, an Australian Christian born with a limb deficiency who has traveled the world as an evangelist and witness for Christ. Several of Nick's books have been published in Japanese and other languages, and Nick's videos and photos can be easily found by searching on your smartphone. So if you are interested, please take a look. Not now, but after the service is over. Since the word evangelist is still used in this way today, it may be a little hard to grasp that Paul's job title of evangelist was transient, temporary position at that time 2,000 years ago. Those who are called evangelists today are not evangelists as described by Paul and the New Testament, but rather those who publicly testify of Christ before people were pastors and the teachers, which is the next job title after evangelist. Then what kind of people does Paul mean by evangelist? The evangelists Paul referred to were those who have close relationship with apostles, including Apostle Paul, and worked directly with them in the gospel ministry. They did not physically encounter the resurrected Jesus with their five senses like the apostle did, but they heard the gospel of Christ spoken by the Apostle Paul and Peter and became Christians. They were those who not only became Christians but also received direct appointment as evangelists from the apostle in order to work together with them in preaching the gospel and building up the church. In other words, Paul's evangelists were those who, 2,000 years ago, when the New Testament was not yet available, dedicated their lives to the gospel ministry together with the apostles. They sometimes went with the apostle or to areas where the apostle did not reach to preach the gospel of Christ. Sometimes they stayed and served in the churches that apostle had pioneered, and sometimes they were sent ahead to prepare for the pioneering work. For example, Philip, who appears in Acts chapter 6 and 8, was appointed by the apostle to serve as steward to the church, but he also served as an evangelist to preach Jesus Christ to the Ethiopian official through the preaching of Isaiah 53. Stephen, who was appointed by the apostle as a steward at the same time and placed as Philip, was also stoned to death by people for speaking of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament to the masses as an evangelist. And Timothy and Titus, who were like Paul's disciples and were called true sons by Paul, who never married and had no children, were also evangelists, according to Paul. What these evangelists had in common was that although they had not physically met the resurrected Lord Jesus, they believed in him. Through the Holy Spirit were chosen as evangelists through the apostle by the Holy Spirit and were engaged in the preaching of the gospel with the apostles. They were those who were given the power and authority from above to preach the gospel of Christ in the turbulent times when the New Testament was not yet available, filled with the Spirit, the Word, and the wisdom God gave them. They were not proud ones who boasted of themselves, but rather they were those who, while laboring for the gospel, did not give up on the task entrusted to them by the apostle through the Holy Spirit, but risked their lives to fulfill the time of storm just after the Lord Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to heaven 2,000 years ago. They were what the apostle Paul called evangelists. They supplemented the work of apostles, expanding the scope of their ministry and contributing to the establishment of the church where the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached and the church was built up. Like apostles and the prophets, they were evangelists who lived in a period of time that passed with the establishment and the independence of the church. Let's look at some Bible verse. First, Acts chapter 6, verse 2 through 7. So 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, the covenant to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Following guidance of Holy Spirit, the apostle chose and set up 7 men, including Philip and Stephen, who were full of spirit, wisdom, and faith as steward of the church. Then by setting them up, the word of God spread more and more, and the number of disciples of the Lord Jesus increased. From verse 8 onward, the magnificent Old Testament exegesis of Stephen the steward as an evangelist and his martyrdom are recorded. So please read it once you get home. Next, we have the passage on Philip's ministry as an evangelist. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. And on his way homeward, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, the Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendant, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave order to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and Eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all towns until he reached Caesarea. For the first time in the history of a Christian church in 2,000 years, Philip was probably the first person to preach publicly about Jesus Christ from Isaiah 53. So even now, perhaps following in the footsteps of Philip the evangelist during Passion Week, much is said about Passion of Christ from Isaiah 53. I would like to look at one more passage of scripture about evangelism. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his approaching and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. 2 Timothy is the last letter of the Apostle Paul before his death, letter like his last will and testament. The person to whom he wrote that will-like letter was Timothy, the evangelist whom he called my true son. At that time he received Paul's letter, Timothy was serving as a pastor of a church in Ephesus, which was a pioneer by Apostle Paul. He met the Apostle Paul when he was around 20 years old and became worker of gospel while accompanying Paul on his missionary journey. Timothy was probably in his late 30s or early 40s when he received the letter from Paul, serving as pastor of the Ephesian church at Paul's command. The first and second letters to Timothy were written to his true child Timothy to encourage and strengthen him in his struggle as pastor of the Ephesian church, and also with a prayerful heart. Paul himself was apostle of Christ and was therefore a prisoner in a cold, dreary prison, awaiting execution tomorrow. At the end of his life, he was reminded of Timothy, my true son. His final words to Timothy was, "Fulfill your ministry as an evangelist." At the time when this letter to Timothy was written, the church was in the midst of great hardship. It was a time of great persecution against the church and the Christians, as Christians were falsely accused of being cause of the great fire that broke out in Rome. It was a time of great cruel persecution by Emperor Nero, who who had those who believed in Christ fed to beasts, bound as torches, put into boiling oil, and even had Apostle Peter crucified upside down and killed. The temptation within church at such time was to become intolerant of sound teaching, to listen only to what is pleasant to the ear, to set up messengers for themselves according to their own preference, to turn away from the truth taught by the Lord Jesus, and to fall back on fables proclaimed as gospel. Even in such a situation, Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word, whether times are good or bad. Be patient to the end and fulfill your duty as an evangelist, constantly teaching, rebuking, exhorting." And this is what Paul means by evangelist. I wonder then if the words of Apostle Paul are being spoken today. If the words of Apostle Paul are being sought after. If I myself am speaking such words. If I am speaking the word with patience. And if I am not giving into the temptation to speak what is comfortable to the ears. I believe that Timothy met the same temptation, and even though his heart was almost broken, he was encouraged by the words of the Apostle Paul and went on to live out his life as evangelist. There is a Bible verse that I personally like, and I think it shows the healthy attitude of the man Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 23. "Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses." Timothy is advised by Apostle Paul to drink a little wine. What I mean is that is to say that in those days it was unthinkable to have clean, good-tasting water coming out of tap, as is the case today. Drinking water was precious commodity, and it was not easy as it is today to get good sanitary water. Therefore, they drank wine as one of the ways to drink water. But Timothy avoided even drinking alcohol to drink water, and often became ill after drinking water. It seems that Timothy believed in the Lord Jesus, lived the gospel, and thought that alcoholic beverages, even a small amount of wine, would not help him live as an evangelist filled with his Holy Spirit. Above all, he seems to have accepted the word of Apostle Paul in the letter he wrote to the Ephesian church he was pastoring, word of revelation from God, and was trying to defend them head on. These words are like this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Even though Paul did not say, "Do not drink a drop of wine," Timothy could have honestly acknowledged the weakness of man and of himself. Timothy apparently took Paul's words, "Do not get drunk on wine," to mean, "Do not drink a drop of wine, but rather pray and seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest concerns of a person is to fall ill or become ill, but Timothy was a person who entrusted the Lord with his most anxious concern and tried to give priority to the words of the Apostle Paul. This was evangelist Timothy. I think to myself, is there such a holy healthiness in me? I want to live in such healthy faith. Finally, I would like to talk about pastors and the teachers. So far, we have looked at three special but transient temporary positions: apostle, prophet, and evangelist. In contrast to these three, the office of pastor or teacher is recorded in the Bible as an office that will continue until the time of Lord Jesus' second coming. In other words, the so-called devotee of this time period are all those who are set up as pastors and the teachers. So are pastors and teachers different roles and people? If so, what is the difference? In what ways are they different? There are many opinions, but I believe that the office of pastor and the teacher are not different role or people, but one and the same, and that one person is responsible for both offices. This is because the way Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which we are studying now, does not write pastor and teacher as separate offices, like apostle, prophet, and evangelist, but as one office. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors, and the teachers. If pastors and teachers were different offices, like apostle, prophets, and evangelists, Paul would not have written, "I have set them up as pastors and teachers," but would have written, "I have set some as pastors and others as teachers." Following the writing style of apostle, prophet, and evangelist. But in fact, Paul does not separate pastors and teachers, but writes, He set them up as pastors and the teachers, that is, pastors and the teachers as one and the same office. In other words, pastor and teacher is an office in which one person assumes both the role of pastor and teacher. As I mentioned when we learned about the office of apostle in the Japan Alliance Christian Church, to which Tsujiura Megumi Church belongs, according to the biblical teaching that pastor and teacher are one and the same. A pastor who has passed the examination and received ordination is called a regular minister, and the term assistant teacher is used to refer to preacher who has not yet been ordained. Either pastor or evangelist is referred to by the word teacher. In other words, a pastor is not only a pastor, but also teacher. So first of all, what does Paul mean by pastor? the Greek word poimen, which is translated into Japanese as pastor, translates directly as shepherd. Shepherds fed their sheep, guided sheep with poor eyesight so that they would not fall off cliff, and show them where they could go to graze. Shepherds also guided their sheep along the way so that they could return to their hut after leaving, and took a risk to protect them from attacks by beasts. In order to establish a relationship of trust with the sheep, the Israelite shepherd also played a major role in breaking legs of sheep that did not listen to him and carrying them until their legs were healed. In other words, the pastor of the church is such a person. Pastors protect Christians from Satan's attack, swear to provide spiritual food, and live with people in love, sometimes spitting, sometimes accusing, admonishing, sometimes seriously bumping into them, sometimes embracing them so that they can finally enter the kingdom of God. Then pastor will be asked whether they are really pastors with such spiritual stature. In a sermon by a respected pastor, I once heard an unforgettable story about the vocation of a pastor, as he mentioned on the fact that he himself is a pastor. He said, as he read the Bible, he was given this thought: "Oh, I am not a pastor, but a dog, a sheepdog, following Jesus, who is the true pastor. I am just a dog, barking around the sheep, trying to understand the shepherd's intention and listening to his expression. So let's live up to our role as sheepdogs and live until we are forgiven." I was moved by these words. I thought, I wish I could be a sheepdog like him, first and foremost. I wish I could be a sheepdog like him. I wish I could be a royal dog. Royal dog home. I want to be a dog that protects the sheep and is willing to follow the work of Jesus, the true shepherd. I hope you will continue to support this dog-like pastor. And then there is the teacher. A teacher is a person who teaches. In other words, a teacher is the one who is assigned to teach the Bible. If I give up teaching the Bible, I am no longer a pastor or a teacher, as Paul says in the Bible. There are many temptations in being a pastor, and one of the biggest temptations is the temptation to neglect teaching the Bible. To be honest, the hardest part of being a pastor is teaching the Bible, preaching the Bible, and striving daily to be able to teach and preach the Bible, which is the hardest and most difficult part for me. You may think that's the very basics of being a pastor, so you don't have to be so winning about it. But for me, this is the hardest part. I enjoy meeting and talking with people to put a face to a problem and strive to solve it together. Going to scene to help someone, to give advice, driving bus a car or car, preparing and officiating the funerals, weddings, and other rites of passages. If these were all of my work as a pastor, I would think that being a pastor would be a surprisingly enjoyable profession, but the burden that always haunts me, no matter what I do, or the one that I dread to the point of sighing, is the time spent striving to teach the Bible and struggling with the Word of God. I would like to avoid it if possible. I wish I could avoid it, but if I did, I would no longer be a pastor or teacher, as Apostle Paul said. But on the other hand, there is nothing more enjoyable, more fruitful, more exciting, more joyful, more fulfilling, more satisfying, more rewarding, and more and than work of teaching the word of the Bible, and nothing more rewarding than feeling presence, guidance, protection, and wisdom of the Lord. It is also true that there is nothing more gratifying than the effort and the practice of teaching the word, preaching the word, and sharing Bible doctrine. The ministry of being a teacher is something that pastor should never give up, and it also ministry that he must concentrate on the most. I think the word from Acts just now are exactly right. Let's look at it again. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. I would appreciate it if you would pray that the pastoral staff of Megumi Church would be pastors and the teachers who never give up on this word. I'd like to conclude my sermon. Christ Himself appointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers according to the time in order to build up His body, the church, and none of them were perfect. Rather, they were full of flaws and shortcomings. Even there are some to whom we may think, oh, such person. I am confident that my friends who knew me when I called myself Toyokazu Ishikawa would say, oh, you are a pastor? Even so, I have been blessed beyond measure to be able to serve as a pastor. The Apostle Paul did the same in Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, was pleased, he was just a man who received grace that he had no choice but to confess so. To Paul, who had been giving the terrible persecution to the church and the Christians at every town, the Lord Jesus called him as an apostle, revealing himself to him and speaking to him the words, you are a vessel to preach me. This was simply due to Christ God's outstanding grace, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, and His magnificent plan and blessing of choosing to use people. I know some of you are not yet Christians, but we Christians, as those who belong to Christ, should rely on God's outpouring of grace, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, plans, and blessings, and we should respect each other's existence and be the ones who release the fragrance of Christ the world. We are those who want to share the grace and blessing of Christ with one another. We are also those who hope that those who will be added to the body of Christ will rise, grow together, and mature together. We praise the name of the Triune God, the Lord God, Jesus, the Son, and the God, the Holy Spirit, who thoroughly blesses and uses such people. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you set up apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and connect to your body, the church. Still, you set people up to work for you, and you are working, using people, choosing people, and through people to save people. We thank you. You count on us. We enjoy you count on us and work with you. Please help us to get over struggle and hurts. Please lead us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.